Good evening. Open, if you would, your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we will begin there in just a moment. Hope everyone had a restful day and is ready to study a little bit of God's Word tonight. And again, I go back to and I like to call them historical accounts. I go back to a historical account from God's Word in 1 Kings chapter 19 that really hits home, I guess, for me. I've always said I felt like Elijah and I would have been friends had we lived during the same time. I feel like he was probably just as sarcastic as I am, maybe even a little more in some cases. And so it's always good to study Elijah and folks in the Old Testament and the New Testament that, you know, really show humanity, to say, well, these aren't characters that are some far-fetched fairy tale. These are real people that live during real times, and it's always good to do that, at least for me. As, you know, we mention in the life of Elijah, he went through this difficult time, but very triumphant time at Mount Carmel. And, you know, he defeats these 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Ashereth, and, you know, defeats them basically with the help of God by himself. And Jezebel decides that she wants to put him to death. And so at this point in time of his life, it's very hard to look at him and say, here, you know, there's this guy who won this great battle, and he was, you know, being really sarcastic with all of the other prophets that were there with him, and I'll cry out louder, maybe he's asleep or on vacation, or, you know, all of those things that Elijah was saying. And now we find him just at the worst time in his life. I'm sure we all like clear, concise directions. You know, I when somebody says, oh, it's just up the road a little bit, you can't miss it. Yes, I can. I've missed those before. Those times that people say, oh, you know, don't worry about it. You drive up the road and there'll be this marker or whatever. You can't miss it. Or, you know, you'll know it when you see it. Well, I want to know about it before I get there. Right, so I can be looking and make sure that I'm in the right place. We all like to have those clear, concise directions. I wrote out my aunt is not very good with directions, and she was coming to our house one day, and I wrote out directions for her, and they were very detailed from directions. And she said, now I pull out of my garage, and I'm going to turn right to go up the hill. I need you to put directions from there, pulling out of my garage, to all the way to your house. And so I wrote them down as clearly and concisely as I could. And she gets to the house. She said she had no trouble. And when she got ready to leave, she goes, okay, now write them out the other way. I said, just follow them backwards. Can't do that. You're going to have to write them out for me to get back home until I pull into my driveway. I said, well, I'll get you to Barnesville, but I'm not going to get you to your garage from Barnesville. We like clear, concise directions so that we know where it is that we're going. We've probably heard people say, I wish God were just clearer on the subject. I wish he would just talk to us plainly, or I wish that he spoke directly to me so that I would know what he wants me to do. Well, I would suggest tonight that God does speak very clearly to us. He is very concise with us. But oftentimes we don't like the direction. We listen for the wrong thing, or we fail to listen. God speaks clearly. God gives the directions. It's the listening part. It's looking for the wrong things. And oftentimes when it comes to God, we're looking for something specific. Right? I want God to be a God of love and for this sin that I'm in to be okay. And that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm listening for. And God's just not going to say it. And when someone speaks out against it, someone says, well, wait a minute, that's not what God's Word says, then people want to fight against it. We need to be listening to the clear voice of God, and I believe that He has one. You know, we see others in Scripture that were no different. Elijah here, you know, we see him going through all of these things, and you know, the strong wind and the earthquakes and the mountains and the rocks breaking into pieces, and nope. Where was God? In the still small voice. It was in the soft blowing, right? This gentle breeze, this gentle wind. And I think God is making a point here. Oftentimes when it comes to God, we're looking for the earthquakes. We're looking for the fire. We're looking for the rocks breaking. But most of the time, it's so much more simple than that. Think about Naaman, who was told to go dip in the Jordan River, and he said, well, wait a minute, that's not enough. I thought you would come out, and I thought you would wave your hands all over the place, and I thought you would, you know, declare me to be healed, and then I would be healed. And Elisha said, no, that's not the way that works. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. And he did that and he was. But they were looking for something else. So I want to look tonight at just some ways that God does speak to us. And I think probably all of us who are here tonight probably know all of these things. We know God speaks to us in these ways, but maybe this will give us an opportunity or a chance to, you know, better tell someone else who's asking these questions. Well, if God was only clearer on this subject, or if God would just speak to me directly, if He would speak to me in some other way than God's Word. He does. We just need to listen. God speaks to us, first of all, tonight through His creation. In Psalm 19, or the 19th Psalm, in the first 4 verses, this is a Psalm of David, and Mark will, I'm sure, get to this somewhat soon in our study of Psalms, but it says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Do you catch that? The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Look into the sky at night. And know that that was created by the hand of your God, of your Creator, the one who created you. He also created those things. Day to day pours forth speech. Right? People say, well, I wish God would talk to us, speak to us in some other way. Every day that you wake up, God is speaking to you. Not just through His Word, but He's speaking to you, telling you that He is here. Day to day pours forth speech. And night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. We have to come to the realization that either God created the world, or time created the world. It was really our only options. It was either an extended period of time that caused the world to be created, which you have to have, or God, through His hand, created this world. Those are really our only two options. And scientists will tell you that those are our only two options. It's either evolution, which basically is time, extended periods of time, billions upon billions of years, that we need for creation to even make sense in our human minds. So either this universe that we live in, that is full of all of these rules and laws, either it broke those laws once to create itself, or there is a creator who did all of that outside, who works outside of the world which we know. And again, we can decide one way or the other, but it is one of these two options. In Romans chapter 1, we'll read a little bit more of the context here, but Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Because that which is known about God is evident, notice, within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. He continues, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and notice, they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, of birds, of four-footed animals, and of crawling creatures. It goes on later to say that they worship the creation rather than the Creator. God is speaking to us through that creation. He is telling us, quite obviously, I believe, that He exists, though it may not be to our liking. It may not be as loudly as we would like for Him to be speaking. But I don't know if you look out on a clear night, how you could think anything else other than how wonderful, how marvelous our God and Creator is. We would love for God, right, to just maybe talk to us. And I would tell people that say, well, I wish that God would talk to me directly. Just hold on. I want you to go through, before you do that, before you say that, before you think you mean that, I want you to go through and look at the times in which God did speak directly to His people. What happened with Moses and the children of Israel? When God spoke to the children of Israel as a group, the children of Israel were so scared at His voice that they told Moses, you talk to Him, you talk to God, and you tell us what He has to say, because if we hear that voice again, if we hear Him again, we'll die. That's what they thought. And so Moses takes on that responsibility of speaking to God and passing along the message. And they said, whatever God tells us to do, that's what we'll do. And I believe that that was the children of Israel's first step away from God. I think they needed that voice in their ear. So be careful what you ask for of God speaking to you directly, because apparently in many cases it was not a pleasant thing for God to be speaking to you directly. And the message which He was giving you was to be followed. Well, God is still speaking to us, and the message still needs to be followed. How well do we listen to God? Just a few verses from the Psalms that kind of talk about God speaking through His creation. The 8th Psalm, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Looking at this massive creation, why do you even look at us? Why do you even care about us? The 104th Psalm, verses 24 and 25. O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. There is the sea, great and broad, in which are swarms without numbers, animals both small and great. So large that it's hard to fathom, so small that you can't see it with your naked eye. It says, you have created them all, and there's swarms upon swarms of your creation. The 139th Psalm, in verse 14, I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Do we even look at ourselves knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by the hand of the Creator? Not only does God speak to us through His creation, but He also speaks to us through His Son. And again, this is the one that sometimes people balk at, that they don't want. They say, well, I want God's Word some other way than written down. Well, notice Hebrews chapter 1. In the first two verses here, it says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. It says God speaks to us through his Son, and we need to listen. We looked at Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 this morning to say that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or by the word of Christ. We need to hear Christ's words to have faith in God. Are we doing that? Are we listening? It is the word of the Son that produces faith. It's not just about going out. Now, going out into creation, as we talked about this morning, and looking at the sun and the moon and the stars and all of the things, you know, the trees as they're changing colors. And I'm telling you, there's not many places more beautiful than even West Virginia when the leaves are changing in this area. It's beautiful. And we can go out and we can see all of those things. And yes, those things can confirm our faith and those things can help. But it is the words of the Son that's going to produce faith in each and every one of us. But the problem lies with how much of the Son's word we take in. Well, I'll take this little piece and I'll take this little piece, but all of these things in the middle and on the ends, I'm just going to leave those things out. Notice Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, starting in verse 9. It says, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me." Why is there no one like him? Verse 10 says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it." God says, I declare the end from the very beginning. Did he not? Do we not already know what the end is going? Now, we don't know a lot of details about, you know, people say, well, what's my body going to be like? I don't know. It's going to change in the twinkling of an eye. And it's going to be better than anything that you've ever experienced here. But as far as specifics, some of those things we don't know. But he declared the end from the beginning. And so we need to be in all of God's word, the word of his Son, to have the kind of faith that we need to have salvation. So again, we ask the question, how well are we listening? We have to ask our kids that sometimes, don't we? You're in the middle of a sentence and you have to stop and say, Peyton, are you listening? She's the one that gets really distracted. Are you listening? Why do we ask that question? Because oftentimes they're looking off into the stars as you're speaking. Sometimes they hear it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they'll repeat what you said, sometimes they'll say, were you talking to me? But don't we do that to God sometimes? Why does God stop us and say, are you listening? Probably because Tony is standing off somewhere, looking around, not paying attention to what he's doing. And he has to stop me and say, are you listening? Back in Psalm 19, David says this, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Are you listening? Because this is what can happen. Right? In keeping them, there is great reward. but we need to know what they are. In John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And the reason was because they had seen Christ. We cannot know the Father unless we know the Son. Do we know the Son the way that we should? Finally, I believe that God speaks to us through His people. Yes, we can look out at creation. We can even look in a mirror and see our own reflection and know that God exists, know that God is speaking to us. We can look in God's Word, look at the words of His Son, and know that God is speaking to us. But I want us to understand and grasp tonight that God also speaks through His people. I can't remember exactly what show it was. It was a TV show, but there was a brother and sister that were arguing, and it kind of caught my attention because I have a sister, and we argued. So I'm sitting there watching it, and the daughter was telling the son all of these things, and, you know, well, Dad said this, and that you can't do that, and, you know, he says to her, well, you're not my boss. And you want to know what Dad said? Dad told the son, you heard what I said. Right? He didn't have to say it. It was all spoken through the sister. She knew what Dad was going to say because Dad had said it to her. Dad wasn't going to allow her to do it. And so she knew that the son was not going to be allowed to do it. And so as she's explaining it to him and he starts to kind of push back, Dad says, you heard what I said. God speaks to us through His people. Do we listen? In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus, as He's getting ready to ascend into heaven, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now He's going to pass that authority onto them. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Here's how you do that. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then what? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so He commissions His followers, you go out now and you're going to have to teach. Because I am ascending into heaven, now you are going to have to take over. We sing a song, and I think it's number 512. I didn't write it down, but the world's Bible. Right? Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. I'm telling you, there are very few people that are just going to pick up God's Word and start reading it and follow it. More often than not, they are going to see you. They are going to see the life that you are living. They're going to wonder why you're living that life. They're going to wonder how you can be happy in a situation that would have made them miserable. They're going to wonder how, when somebody responds to you in a certain way, that you talk back to them in a soft, loving way, even though the way they spoke to you may have been very hateful. And they're going to say, I want to be like that. Again, I don't talk often about my mom good while she's here, but I do like to do it when she's not, so don't tell her. I tease her when she's here. But I remember when I was a kid, we were probably 12, 13, 14 years old. We went every year to a friend of mine's house. The kids were all friends. The parents were all friends. And we all just would get together and play games. The kids would play. The adults would play. And I remember sitting watching a game that they were playing. It was like a married, like the newlywed game, board game. And there was a question. If you could be anyone else, who would you be? Who would you want to be? And I can remember my dad got the answer right, because mom had always said, and you probably don't know the name, but mom had always said, I want Alice Frazier. If I could be anybody else, I would just be like Alice Frazier. Ken was a preacher at Barnesville for a long time, just a good man. good, upstanding family, and she always wanted to be like him. Everyone else in that room that night, as far as the women were concerned, said they wanted to be like my mom. That said something to me. She never Bible pounded them, as far as I know. But she was living the life that they envied, that they wanted to live. She was the type of person that they themselves wanted to be. She was able to control her tongue in situations that they weren't able to control. She was able to think good about others when they would not have thought that way. And so they wanted to be like her. That stuck with me. Because now I know they didn't really want to be like her, did they? They wanted to be like Christ. They just didn't know it. Because that's what she was trying to reflect in her life. Did she make mistakes? Of course. I'm not saying that she is perfect. But I'm saying if you do the right thing, people will notice. People will look. God can speak through you. So do we go to all the world? Do we do what God has designed us to do? What Jesus created us to do? In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." Notice, so that, right? This is why I created you in this way. This is why I made you a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is the reason that I created you. I created you to proclaim Jesus. Are we doing that? How well are we listening to God's people? And if we are God's people, how are we telling the world about Christ? Again, in Romans chapter 10, we've read this several times today, but so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. He continues and says, "But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." Are we speaking on behalf of Christ by the lives in which we live? Are we presenting Christ in our own lives in such a way that people see us and glorify God, our Father in heaven? God wants to speak through you. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is my life proclaiming God? Is the way that I'm living my life, is that proclaiming God, or is it doing God harm when people find out that that person's a Christian? No way. And they don't believe it because of the way we act or the way we live our lives. God wants to be able to speak through us. He wants to be able to proclaim His Son through our life. And really, when we became a child of God, that's what we signed up for. How are we doing at proclaiming? How are we doing at listening? I believe, yes, God speaks to us very clearly. He speaks to us through His creation. He speaks to us through His Son, through His Son's Word. He speaks to us through His people. How well are we listening to God? Understand that we don't want to be surprised by God. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." But I've also always said this in attachment with this verse, and I don't believe that I'm adding to or taking away from God's word when I say this. What a humbling, beautiful thing to walk into those same hands. We don't want to fall into God's hands by surprise. But how comforting to just say, you know what, God, I need you. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. And to walk into those same hands. You know, it's no different with our parents. Right? When we do something we're not supposed to do, those hands can sometimes be scary. The voice can sometimes be scary. But when we're scared, when we're afraid, can't those same hands be the most comforting place in the world when you're a child? To be able to go back and to even just at my age, just to know. And Mom has said this over the past several years since my grandma passed away. I wish I could call my mom. Wish I could call my grandma. It's still a comfort to know, no matter how old you are, that you can go back to mom, to dad, and they're there to help. They're there to protect. They're there to listen. God is no different to His children. But what a terrifying thing to fall into those same hands. If you're here tonight and you are not a child of God, I would encourage you to walk into the hands of the Lord tonight. Be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and live the life that He created you to live, one that proclaims Jesus. If you're here and you are a child of God who maybe has not been living the life that you're meant to live, there's time and opportunity tonight to get your life back on track. We will pray with you. We will pray for you. Whatever your need may be, if you're here and subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing. Yeah.